We got the headrest safe. People, you got to be careful with the stuff that's in your vehicle. And whenever people travel, a lot of people do a lot of travel, obviously, over the holidays. This is when I think the headrest safe comes in super handy. A lot of college games, a lot of football games, all kinds of stuff. So the headrest safe is exactly what it sounds like, headrest safe. It's a one-of-a-kind in-vehicle safe for the passenger side, so it doesn't interfere with driver safety, and it is designed to be invisible. They can actually match with the materials over 80% of the car's interior. Now, it's designed as a gun safe that you can, but you can put it, use it for anything, valuables, your medication, jewelry, whatever it is. It's been awarded the Editor's Choice Award from Concealed Carry Magazine for innovation and best in class vehicle safes. So you can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. Magnetic access door, keypad, hard key as well. They have an adjustable post system with a deployable toggle bolt once you install it, which is easy to do. It's not going anywhere. Smart, useful. You gotta have one. It is a one-of-a-kind safe. Doesn't matter if you carry firearms. You will find uses for this, guaranteed. For a limited time, the headrest safe bundle price has been reduced by $100. And with code Dana, save an additional $50 off of that. So see it for yourself at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana. Get that exclusive $50 off. That's headrestsafe.com. Code Dana for $50 off. 100% money back guarantee.
Mr. President, do you have any sense of how many Americans may be released and the initial 50 hostages that may be released?
We have plenty of time to talk about the hostages.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much, guys.
Why does the staff, they all sound like airline attendants? Thank you, thank you, thank you. When someone says thank you like that, you know what they're telling you. They're telling you to go do something unflattering to yourself. That's what it sounds like. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thanksgiving Eve Eve. It is officially time for you to put on your Thanksgiving pants. You've got the green light. Yeah. Get her done. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here. I don't know about you, but almost vulgarly excited about eating turkey every year with taters. We're going to get into this because I get so excited over food. Ah! And this is like the appropriate time to get super stoked over food. And the only time I will ever come close to girl shrieking. I don't know what that is. So welcome to the program. It is Tuesday. It is Thanksgiving Eve Eve. Yes. And we are here with you as you're maybe you're like getting ready to travel back home and argue with your family about politics over the holidays. You know what? Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. That's all you got to do. Right? Just smile. Just smile. Do like what Keanu Reeves does. He protects his peace by going, you know what? You're right. And then just smiles and leaves them alone. That's what you got to do. Just be like Keanu. So, or maybe you're in the kitchen getting stuff prepared. Kane and I were just talking about brown buttered rosemary and sage. And I know, sounds so delicious. Maybe you're in the kitchen doing that. Maybe you're cleaning up your house, getting ready for company. Maybe you're finishing stuff at work. Whatever it is, we're going to set your table, right? So this is going to be like one of the side dishes at your Thanksgiving table. We're going to give you some stuff to talk about. So welcome. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Enter the YouTube chat at your own risk. And they're all getting ready for Thanksgiving too. They don't got time for mess. So we're going to dive right in. First and foremost, I sent the newsletter out and I was kind of jokey, but it was true because I was made of jokes when I saw the image that they used. Normally, I got to say, like, normally, you know how you see something and it's just so comical and your brain like short circuits with the jokes and you can't even think of anything, because I was thinking of that when I saw this picture of Joe Biden sitting in front of his birthday cake. Because it was his birthday. He's 1,100 years old. Give him a hand. 1,100, Kane. He reached the big milestone. 1,100.
That's a big one.
And I saw this because he's got a bajillion candles on his cake. They are burning the ever-loving tar out of that cake. I thought, well, like the country, so too has he set his cake on fire. That was my first thought. My second thought was, sir, you have a portal to hell on a plate in front of you. I mean, yeah, they had to have a fire extinguisher. He's holding onto the table, like as if to keep himself upright. It's very confusing. So they had the press conference yesterday, folks. And they were talking about how much they've saved you on your Thanksgiving dinner. Now, remember, how many cents did they save us on the hot dogs, Kane, at the barbecue? Like, that was a big feat.
Was that like 17 cents?
Juan's got 16, Juan's got the portal to hell cake that he's thrown out there for the simulcast. Yeah, 16 cents. Now, Kane, please bring us some clarity to this conundrum.
It's getting second degree burns off that thing.
Right? I mean, I feel the heat.
Look at that.
Already. I feel the heat. I mean, that's a, I mean, who in the hell thought it was a great idea to put that kind of flame by President Daddy Shower Sniffs McKids? I mean, the man falls on flat surfaces, upstairs, not moving. I mean, he just falls. But
how is his tie there, not singeing?
Little known fact, there are no lights in that room right now. It's totally dark. That's just all the light from the fire that's on his cake. It's insane. But when they said that they had saved us money, do you remember how, so they said it was $16 for things for 4th of July. Was that per hot dog? Oh, sorry.
No, that was not per hot dog. That was per 4th of July meal.
Oh, that wasn't even like per hot dog.
No. No, 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 no.
Ew.
Yeah, no.
So that was like per the food.
Per all of the items.
Ew. You know what? That is just like, no, no offense, but y'all know what I'm talking about. That is just like a grandparent, though, to be like, here, here's a dime. Go buy yourself. But they said that they're saving, yeah, the 16 cents. Remember, they had said in 4th of July, they go planning a cookout this year. Catch up on the news. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact you must have heard. I think, were they trying to be funny with this? Because I died inside. I had to get revived, died again, and then I'm finally okay. And they said 16 cents, yeah. They got ratioed by community notes. It was beautiful. So they literally whipped out a food menu. Did you see this yesterday? It's one of the bright spots of my day, Kane. They whipped up a food menu. Prices are from someone's backside. And they're trying to talk about everything that they've saved you. All the money you've been saved. All the money you've been saved for Thanksgiving. This is, I mean, there's some serious shades of 4th of July savings here. So they said the Thanksgiving, this prices are down. They went into airline tickets. Guy's milk, they said, is down by 1%. Wow. Savings. I mean, everyone... Do you remember what I told you whenever I talk about American financing? What I tell you? The average person is, what, 10 grand that they're in debt and they're putting it all on their credit card because everybody's broke?
It's more now.
Yeah, it's more now. But hey, 1% on your milk. Guys, 1% on your frozen peas. Okay, hold the hell up. Stop. Everybody stop for just a hot second. I know we got to get into this. Can I ask legit who's having frozen peas? Who amongst you is sitting down to frozen peas? Who is out there eating that on Thanksgiving? I'm going to tell you something. I don't care. Don't be like, well, Dana, it's broke. Shh. My grandparents were broke. You know, people think that they know broke. I was born in it. I know broke, right? My grandparents were broke. They lived in an 800 square foot house on the side of an abandoned mine in the Ozarks, okay? They knew broke. They knew rocky terrain. They knew how hard it was to grow a harvest. They knew broke. Ain't never, grandma ain't never put no frozen peas on the table. That woman ain't never put no frozen nothing on the table. And she don't care. She had to stay up all night and not sleep. Take a cat nap the next day. That woman was snapping some peas. She was not putting no frozen nothing on the table. It is about will. That's what it's about. So I was just shocked by this. So because that's some of the stuff that they put out there. So they had cubed stuffing, all this. I mean, did you see this, Kane? Because it's like you're gonna spend like $500 for your basic grocery items. Most everything, except for ham, I think, is up since 2019. It's insane.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
The government clearly doesn't buy food or go to the grocery store.
You save 10 cents on peas, Kane. Shut up. Take your 10 cents.
Everything on that list is way more expensive than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Everything on that list. They're them saying,
but it went down for a little bit.
Oh, did it? Did it go down from record highs?
It went up by 10%. It went down by 1%.
Oh.
Savings. It's the savings, Kane.
People have to understand the rate of inflation is what is how things are increasing. It's how at the pace at which they're increasing. It's still increasing. This is not. There's no lowering. They haven't lowered anything. Nothing is 1% cheaper. That what they're doing. They're lying through their teeth.
I mean, I think I would, if I had her job, I think I literally would set myself on fire and just distract the reporters with that instead of answering questions.
Put it near Biden's cake.
Yeah. I mean, they're still trying to push Bidenomics. They're still trying to push this. They said what? In 2020, the average cost for 10 was $46. The average cost, and this also is according to the Farm Bureau. I know she likes to like situationally cite things. That's why they cite these real, they bring out these weird statistics. So in 2020, it was $46.90. 2023, $61.17, the cost for 10. It has gone up so much, but this is what they do. As Kane noted, they're like, oh, well, yes, it's increased, you know, by and large by, $10. Let's just say turkey's gone up by $10. Let's just say that for argument's sake. Easy number. Oh, my gosh, it dropped 10 cents. Look, we're lowering the prices this year only. Look, by 10 cents. And they act like that's a huge thing. It's the same thing as saying that because the government shut down the economy and forced everyone out of their jobs, and then when they reopened the economy and everyone started going back to their jobs, that they created all these jobs. It's literally the same math. Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing here.
That's what Bidenomics is.
Yeah, that's Bidenomics. Bidenomics is, well, 2 + 2 might equal 7. Today, tomorrow could be 10. You don't know. That's Bidenomics. Can you imagine teaching Bidenomics in class? You just take, you take a cow patty and you put it in a book and then slam it real hard a couple times and then open it up and then that's what you study. It's amazing. So enjoy those savings, guys. Yeah, sure, everything is up literally almost double. Sure, but it went down. Your damn peas went down by 10 cents, guys. So suck it up. Enjoy it. Peas. Next year could be bugs. And it'll probably be frozen bugs, not even the fresh ones. Made myself sick. Didn't think that's possible during this food season. So that's how they started. They literally brought out a food menu. I love the weird things. I'm not done with it yet. I love the weird things that they put up. Like for Thanksgiving, prices are down on toys. Like what? We're talking about Thanksgiving. Frozen peas. Who made this? You know the people who made this? Somebody who didn't cook made this. Some office staffer who eats all their meals at Starbucks made this graphic. They were the ones who picked this. Frozen pie crust. Oh my gosh. I'm on the struggle bus right now. Frozen pie crust. It's literally the easiest thing to make. Frozen pie crust. Oh my gosh. I am dying. You know, it's more expensive to buy the damn crust than it is to make it. And it tastes better when you make it. Someone who made this chart and gave it to her and for her to stand up in front of the country with, this person ain't never cooked a damn day in their life. I bet you money on it. Lots of sweet kula cash. I would bet tons of money on it. Oh my gosh. Frozen whipping cream. They were like, this looks like something you bake with. Oh man, help me.
The biggest one I have a problem with is eggs. They say eggs are down 22.2%.
Literally, this person's never bought eggs.
What the heck?
Where are they getting these magical groceries?
No idea what's going on.
Wait, is this at the Whole Foods place that I never go to because of the hippies?
No, it's not down 22%.
It's like, imagine like parting a sea at Woodstock. That's what it's like to go into a whole. I can't do it because the patchouli, number one. I mean, I can barely. I mean, maybe it's better. I just have a problem with that. Like, I go in and I'm like, it's too bougie by half. It bothers me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just get bothered. I don't need my vegetables to be artfully displayed. Get the hell out of here. I can't stand it. It bothers me. But it is like parting the sea at Woodstock. Every hippie, if your town doesn't have hippies, think again, they're all at Whole Foods. I have so much. Like, I'm not even getting halfway underway. We're also going to talk about, do you realize that this nation began on the carcass of a failed socialist experiment? And we're going to talk about that with regards to the first Thanksgiving. Oh, yes. It's a history lesson. Buckle up, children. We got a lot to get into. We got headlines. We got all that good stuff and things you just don't want to miss. Now, most people, you know, the way the Biden economy keeps going, we're probably going to have to just like chuck the turkey out the window altogether. Although I think Weis Foods has some of that. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. I don't know if you're familiar. You should be familiar with Weis Foods because Weis Foods understands that if times get tough, the literal last thing that you want to worry about is where your next meal is going to come from. So Weis Food Storage comes in clutch on this. You can save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit. Get free shipping at preparewithdana.com. Now, this is a 2-bucket 4-week survival food kit, 2,200 calories, 64 grams of protein per day, 28-day supply. All of the food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. It's all freeze-dried, dehydrated, super easy to prepare. Just add water. It's got that 25-year shelf life. Tons of different dishes are included. And like they're all like seasoned and spiced nicely, too, which is one a complaint that I've had with others, not these folks. They're people who know how to make food made them, so it's you can tell. Order yours today at preparewithdana.com and save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit, plus get free shipping. Visit preparewithdana.com. Dana.com.
Is deflation coming on the horizon? The prices of things like eggs, chicken, and seafood have dropped, and energy prices have plummeted. Although people don't feel secure about their financial situation, could you be receiving an early Christmas present? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So office landlords can't get loans anymore. They just can't. They said office owners, the landlords, are scrambling to pay back lenders, throwing in more cash, or facing default because everything is crazy. Everything, I mean, and any loan that they would get, the interest rate on that, I don't even want to talk about it because it's just going to make me sick. Ugh, crazy. This is the stupidest headline ever. Given woman's federal lawsuit against Shark Ninja dismissed. Now, I got to tell you, I thought that this was a fight between two influencers, the Given woman and Shark Ninja. That's literally what I thought. And I was like, I don't want to talk about this story because I don't care about any of these stupid people. But that's actually not what it is. Apparently, that's a product. So this woman who is from Given filed a suit against this pressure cooker manufacturer, and the pressure cooker was called the Shark Ninja, which I got to tell you, sounds like something I don't want my pressure cooker to be called, Shark Ninja, because those are things that will kill you, both of them. And you're naming a pressure cooker Shark Ninja. It's a new ninja pressure. I don't even understand. They said the failure of Shark Ninja's safety mechanism. You know why? Because you bought something that's called named after two things that will murk you. Murk you to death. That's why. Let's see. Apparently, yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Because you can put your Christmas decorations up now, and psychologists say you should. Thank you, because mine are up. My tree's going up ASAP. I have literally everything else out. I'm not even, apparently psychologists say that people who put their decorations up earlier might be happier, Kane.
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah, happy I am. La 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 la, deck my halls. All right, so you know what? That's the insult that you tell people when you disagree with them. When you're sitting around the table for Thanksgiving with your family, be like, yeah, deck my halls. Just tell them that, because then they don't know if you're being festive or not. Stick with us, because the true Thanksgiving next. Our partners who understand that it's important to be able to have good skincare, especially during a time when you got dudes peddling skincare for women. And I'm sorry, actually, I'm not at all. Women's needs are different from men's needs. Nimi Skincare understands this. And I think they might be like one of the only skincare companies, and everything's made in the US of A, where they not only acknowledge this, but they practice it with the formulations and manufacturing. And so, I mean, this solves a lot of issues. First off, if you're looking for a simple skincare routine that's effective and affordable, Nimi Skincare is the answer. They have very easy to follow routines. You know what? You don't need to slap a lot of stuff on your face. And Nimi understands this. You just need some good quality moisturizers, things that don't have tons of chemicals in them. This is conservative owned. It's made in the USA. Not only do they share your values, but they understand your needs are different. And they're not going to sit here and try to pretend otherwise. You can find them online, NIMI, NimiSkincare.com, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Check out the Hydrate and Protect Ultimate Routine, because you got all kinds of anti-aging products to cleanse, moisturize, protect the skin. It's one of their most popular lines. and they only use the best ingredients in their products, not tested on animals, no parabens, none of that stuff. Nemi skincare products are 100% guaranteed, and they ship right to your door, and you're not compromising your values to have great skin. Visit NemiSkincare.com. That's N-I-M-I skincare.com. Use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Time, but that doesn't mean you can go around saying, you know, everything's perfect. And we recognize that. Americans have had a rough few years, especially when you think about COVID and what that did to our society and effects that we are still working through. You think about some of the political polarization that's going on. We're not out there saying that all of the work is done. We're out there pointing to the good work that we're doing. And what we found is Americans, even when they feel that we've got a long way to go for things to be really the way we want them in this country, agree with the steps that President Biden is leading in terms of how to deal with
the chyron that they had for that on CNN, because it said what did it say that basically Biden was saying that the economy is great no matter what your feelings are about it, right? Something to that effect. It's like, well, it's, people are feeling what their wallets say, and then they send booty juice out there, the transportation secretary, the guy who literally knows nothing about anything. Welcome back to the program. Your illustrious hostess Dana Loesch here with you. I'm already like mentally eating my Thanksgiving meal. We're here to entertain. Are we not entertaining? And like I said, anybody gives you any grief over the Thanksgiving break, you go on, you tell them. And I think my grandmother would approve of this, because she would always say, don't say nothing mean to nobody that you can't say quietly in a whisper in church. Just tell them to deck your halls. It's like I do. Be like, mm-hmm. That's, I feel like, you know, because sometimes you say bless your heart. I really don't want to bless your heart. You know, just don't. Anyway, all right. So this, him talking about, yes, you know, the economy and, you know, what's happening out there. You know, just people just got to realize it. It's like we're realizing stuff. What a goofy thing to tell people over as we approach Thanksgiving. I mean, your bank account says broke, but you're really not. Is that, that's what a goofy thing. You know, he's renting like this $34 million compound somewhere up. What is it, Nantucket or something like that? Up in that area where all them rich people go. You got the Hamptons, and then you got that Nantucket area, and then some other swampy stuff up there. I don't know. He's going up there, he's renting a $34 million compound for his Grifton family. And they're all going to go up there and they'll have their Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, everyone else is, we're told to rejoice in the 10-cent savings on your frozen peas that are actually more expensive now than they were just a couple of years ago. But rejoice, we've saved you 10 cents, 10 whole cents. Yeah, people aren't buying it. They're not buying it. You know, people are mad, too, because of the economic policy that this president has implemented. Everything from, let's put the moratorium on collecting rent money. We're not going to stop taking taxes, nor are we going to stop collecting mortgage payments from the people that own property. But we're going to put a pause on leasing, charging people for leases or paying off people's school bills. You know, as we approach Thanksgiving, this whole collectivism thing, once tried, failed miserably. This country began on the carcass of a failed socialist experiment. And I know it's been discussed before, but I think especially for the people who never heard it, it's important to revisit this history, because every year, what do you hear? The pilgrims were so mean. They were just people who wanted to leave and be able to worship. They were devoutly religious people. And when they came over on the Mayflower, which was when I went and actually like read the proportions of this ship, I was actually kind of shocked. Like, that's not the ship that I would think that you would take crossing the Atlantic, but whatever. I mean, they weren't rich people. They actually had sponsors. They had, you know, Dutch sponsors. They had sponsors from Holland. They had business people, merchants that worked with them to sponsor their journey. And then the point of it was that everybody, it was collectivism. Everybody was going to own everything. Everybody was going to put in the work, and then everyone took an equal share. That was how their society was established. The business people through whom they got these sponsorships to come over here, they had established like a basically one bank account for them all. And so they came over here, and everybody knows the Mayflower Compact and William Bradford, and how every one of the 40 of these 40 pilgrims on board, every one of these 40 pilgrims, they were all going to be equal regardless of their religion, regardless of what they believed, etc. And they nearly died. I mean, his wife died. They all starved to death practically. It was heinous. I mean, it was heinous, horrific conditions for which they tried to prepare themselves for, but ultimately, when it comes to facing nature raw in such a way, nature typically prevails, and it did over many of them. And you know, they weren't successful. They weren't successful at all when they first started. This was the Bernie Sanders Biden dream. How they got started. I mean, they had common ownership. It didn't matter how much you worked, because you were going to take home everything. You were going to take home your share regardless of how much you put in. There was a thing Bradford had written, and he said, quote, for the young men, talking about the collective work, for the young men that were able and fit for labor and service did repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for other men's wives and children without recompense. The strong or men of parts had no more division of food, clothes, etc., than he that was weak and not able to do a quarter the other could. This was thought injustice. The aged and graver men to be ranked and equalized in labor and food and clothes, etc., with the meaner and younger sort, thought it some indignant and disrespect unto them. And for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men as dressing their meat, washing their clothes, etc., they deemed it a kind of slavery. Neither could husbands brook it. There was resentment. Men did not want to go and get food for other men's wives, and women were already busy taking care of their own. Hell, they didn't want to have to take care of another man, another woman's husband. It created resentment. If you're toiling away in the field, what incentive do you have to work harder if you were going to take home the same as the guy who was doing nothing regardless? That's the thing. Collectivism created a safety net for the people who had the ability and really the everything that they could need to work. They just didn't want to. And it created a lot of resentment. And William Bradford saw all of this, and he saw how dangerous it was. He saw that they were literally going to complete destruction. I mean, they barely survived into spring. I mean, he lost his own wife. They barely survived. They nearly all starved to death going into spring. It was not enduring. It was just scraping by a very, very harsh winter. I don't know that the current generations now could deal with it. There's so many amongst us. I mean, my gosh, they freak out if they run out of the peppermint syrup at Starbucks. I mean, have you seen people like in fast food places getting mad if their order's wrong? Can you imagine these people lasting in these conditions to create this new world? And so they're going into spring, and they're realizing, as William Bradford wrote about, the collective farming thing, that was a disaster. He wrote in his diary that, quote, our food stores were used up. People grew weak and thin. Some swelled with hunger. So they began to think how they might not still thus languish in misery. He said that his answer was to divide commune in parcels and assign each pilgrim family its own property. Because they were struggling so badly, Bradford realized the only way to do this, we're going to throw everything out of the window. Everything that we had determined before we came to this new world, everything that we had determined when we were on the Mayflower about collectivism, because this was a commune. It was a hippie commune. The first established living quarters here in the United States was a hippie commune that failed, and almost everybody died as a result. And so William Bradford thought, okay, this is not going to work. We've got to do something. And he realized that if they went through another harsh season, like the one they just barely survived through, He realized the whole colony was gone. So he and the elders, they got together and they thought, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to introduce privatization, private property, and everyone gets the same parcel, the same size parcel, and they can, as he wrote, set corn, every man for his own particular, assigned every family a parcel of land, and made all hands very industrious, so as much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been. When he did it this way, and families realized that they could get more for what they put into it, the privatization and the opportunity incentivized industriousness. So they worked harder and they worked smarter. And Bradford noted, he said, quote, "This had a very good success, for it made all hands very industrious, so much so," he said, "that the women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before would allege weakness and inability." And he said that the men worked harder and that they worked so hard and that they brought such a harvest that they actually had extra that they could use to trade. And he said that it became so successful that they went on from parcels to private farms. And then every family had surpluses that they could freely exchange with their neighbors for mutual benefit and improvement. The first Thanksgiving was born of that. The first Thanksgiving was born of a very radical idea that came about because they saw that socialism, that collectivism was not going to work, that it fostered resentment and an unwillingness to put in the time because you were not going to get rewarded for how hard you worked. Hard work wasn't a virtue. Caring about your task wasn't a virtue. It allowed everyone to skate by with the same level of mediocrity. And it nearly wiped out the entire first colony. And so when they finally realized, and nobody else was doing this, they didn't know what to call it. They didn't call it capitalism. They had no idea what it was. They just knew it hadn't been tried before. And it was so successful, they had surpluses. They traded with each other. If one family didn't have this, they had this. They had something they wanted. They traded. They went on from their single parcels to entire private farms. And when they got together, they came about, and there was only one witness to this in my notes. All we know about the first Thanksgiving extended to one man named Edward Winslow, an eyewitness. He had one paragraph, and this is from the Smithsonian, describing one Indian, the Massasoit, showing up with 90 men. They killed 5 deer to cook with what the English were preparing, and then they feasted for 3 days. And they were creating this feast, the pilgrims, because they wanted to give thanks to God for getting them through a season and preparing them well for the next. Thanksgiving was born of gratefulness to be able to not just mess up, but given the opportunity to rectify an error, make good a mistake, work harder, and have such a surplus that it allowed you to care for your neighbor willingly, not by force, not by contract, not by understanding, but out of sheer, genuine love in the heart. They wanted to care for each other because they had the ability to do so. They were incentivized to work harder. It made them grow. It edified their spirit. That is where the first Thanksgiving came from. And they were able to trade and develop relations with indigenous nations. And they feasted, as Edward Winslow said, for 3 days. One paragraph is all the description there was of it. And they got through that first hard season. And then they went through the next season much more prepared, much more stocked, and with wisdom and bigger hearts. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's born on the back of one of a really bad mistake, but they were given the opportunity to write it. And they did. And it also showcases, even if the intention is pure of heart, the result fosters an evil. And it creates a resentment. People have to be able to enjoy the fruits of their own labor. That is biblical. It's even discussed in the New Testament that you are given things by God for your enjoyment. And yes, you're called to be a good steward of your fellow man. And this is one of the things that the pilgrims, who were incredibly devout, recognized. And it is exactly what they did after they got through that first season. This is what Thanksgiving is about. This is why we have Thanksgiving. This is what they don't teach in schools, because it highlights the failure of a system that has been tried and has collapsed in every single country, in every single nation, any point in history, any time it's ever been implemented, it has failed. Collectivism denies individual will, and even God grants you that. That's the story of the first Thanksgiving in America. We have a lot more to come, folks. We have Days of These United States as well. Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Whenever you're asked about the president's dismal job approval ratings, you say we're not going to look at polls. We look at his accomplishments. And yet, when you are asked about various domestic policy initiatives, you will say these poll very well. People support what the president wants to do. If you look at the individual subjects on the polling, they support what the president's agenda is. So, once and for all, are only certain polls valid in your eyes, the ones that support your agenda, or is the polling data that shows that President Biden has been stuck for 2 years at the low 40s in his approval ratings, are those valid?
So here's the thing. I think it's important to share that American people do approve of some of the president's initiative. I think it is important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. She's, yeah. It's not working. Not working. You're not going to convince people. The polls, they're not lying here. We have a whole other hour on the way. Did you know, like, yesterday was a trans day of visibility or something? I didn't know they were invisible. Stick with me. Friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And they want to save you money because your dollar is struggling to keep up with the cost of day-to-day things. So at Patriot Mobile, you get two things here. Actually, you get a couple things. There's a bonus. First off, it's, again, the only Christian conservative wireless provider and has been for the past 10 years. And when you make the switch, you're going to save yourself a whole bucket of money. You're going to save yourself a lot of money with Patriot Mobile. And Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the communist left. That's the thing. The money that you give them is not going into some political PAC that goes and funds gun control, CRT, abortion on demand, taxpayer funded up till birth, all of that stuff. And you're talking to one of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team members. You're helping to maintain and create more U.S.-based jobs. Keep your phone, keep your number, or get new ones entirely. The choice is yours. Ask about the coverage guarantee and you get free activation using code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Mention offer code Dana for that free activation. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today.
Today, on Transgender Day of Remembrance, we grieve the 26 transgender Americans who were killed this year. Year after year, we see that these victims are disproportionately Black women and women of color. No one should face violence, live in fear, or be discriminated against simply for being themselves.
So wait, it's the so this was yesterday. This was the what is it? The trans
Gender Day of Remembrance.
Oh, is it a visibility? I don't know what the hell it was. I didn't even know it was happening. We didn't even know it was happening.
I didn't see it on the calendar.
I mean, did you know that was the thing that was going down tomorrow? I mean, I'm looking at my calendar thing right now. Didn't
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, but
I did not see that.
Mm-mm. So welcome back to the program. That's what yesterday was, apparently, that. The trans thing of stuff that day.
So now we have to remember.
Did they have one for, now let me just scroll through notes. Instead of looks at notes, I'm going to have scrolls through notes. So did they have one for Christian school kids targeted by trans activists to murder them, you know, like in Nashville? I don't recall. I think everybody got invited to that, to the White House over that, except like the actual victims' families, which is kind of wild. So it was a trans day of whatever. But do you realize that they're like a tiny fraction of crime? And then most of it, isn't it most of it due to like, I think like drugs and drug crime, really, is most of it. And it's still like only a fraction of crime overall. In fact, one could argue that they are less likely to be targeted than other groups. I mean, that's the reality of it. They're actually less likely to be targeted than other groups. I was looking at some of the statistics on that. Yeah, it doesn't make sense that they need a whole day for that. They had this like whole White House thing for that. Doesn't make any sense, but that's what they did. So that was KJP yesterday with that. It was actually after we were on air that they had that press conference. It's the trans. I mean, that nothing about the six kids, though, in Nashville. Interesting. Maybe this is, you know, I mean, this kind of stuff, what is that supposed to, what, are they trying to actually use that as a way to distract? Because I think that even falls flat with the communities that they're trying to pander to. I think they see it and don't take it seriously. People are going to be going into this election cycle so fatigued because they're tired of old dudes fighting from basements. That can go both ways. They're tired of just any kind of trading of insult. I think they just want, people want actual solutions. This is the one thing I hope Republicans understand. You have the product, you got to sell it. You got to sell the product. That's what you have to do. You got one shot, man. This election is it. You have one shot. When did we even have a Transgender Day of Remembrance? When the heck did that even happen? Like, is that new this year? Did they just come up with that?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'm looking. Yeah, I'm not looking at my notes. Notes. No, I'm not seeing it. Not seeing it at all. I guess, I don't remember seeing anything about this last year. I'm not pulling up anything, unless we just didn't pay attention to it last year either. We're a day late today. I'm just wondering. I got questions. So of those, no mentions, sadly, again, of the kids. All right. So Israel's apparently voting on whether or not there's going to be a hostage deal. And I think the offer, if you're tuning in, which, by the way, welcome to the second hour of the program, Dana Lash with you. I think they're doing it actually right now. I think they're determining whether or not they're going to approve this hostage deal. And the deal apparently gets into the X amount, the number of hostages released in exchange for Gazan prisoners, and then like several days of pausing the conflict so that aid can get in. You know what I would do? Honestly, I'd say no. to all of it. They're going to keep those hostages, and they're going to keep stretching it out and stretching it out. And there are kids being held hostage. There are Americans being held hostage. I still remain, you don't negotiate with terrorists. You don't negotiate with terrorists. It's hard to say that. I mean, these are people's families. And did that also hinges on whether or not you believe Hamas will keep its word anyway. Do you honestly think that they would? This is the, you can't negotiate with an entity that has proven time and time again that they will not honor any agreement. Like I've said, there was a ceasefire in place on October 6th. What happened to it? That was one of many ceasefires that they had violated. Every time a ceasefire ended, it was because Hamas violated it. Israel did not violate a ceasefire. Hamas has always violated a ceasefire repeatedly over two decades now. So it's not them. It's not Israel. It's Hamas. You're honestly going to think that you can enter into some kind of goodwill negotiation with a terrorist entity that believes that this isn't about fighting for freedom. There's no occupation. There hasn't been a single Jewish person in Gaza since 2005. Shut up. There's no stupid occupation. That's a dumb term used by stupid white Westerners who and black Westerners who have no idea what the hell's going on. It's a bunch of entitled, self-indulgent morons who say these words because they hear other people say them and they think that it sounds smart. They don't have to do the legwork of educating themselves about anything going on in this part of the world. So they just repeat the stuff that they think sounds cool. There hasn't been a Jew in Gaza since 2005. There's nobody that they left. They pulled out unilaterally, left in 2005. Gaza held their first elections. Guess what? Hamas won. Hamas is so powerful and Hamas is so popular that they even gained influence in the West Bank, which is why they had the Palestinian Authority. And that's what they call themselves. There's no such thing as Palestinian. There's no such thing as Palestine. There are Arabs that are in the Gaza Strip and other individuals in the Gaza Strip. We're not making up and creating entire ethnicities and people and countries out of the ether, especially when they're not supported by thousands of years of antiquity. It's not going to happen. But they got so popular that the authority, which rules those two territories, essentially, they suspended elections because they knew Hamas was gonna win. So you had Hamas and Fatah under the PA, and Fatah, the chairman of Fatah, is also heads up the authority. He wasn't gonna be able to keep power, so they suspended elections. That's why, because Hamas was so popular, they were gonna run all the territories there. That's it. And I do discount you. People need to stop sitting here and acting like, yes, you have Hamas, the militant group, the terrorist group, but they're also the elected government of this territory. They're basically fait accompli, the elected, ruling authority in West Bank as well. But you have to remember the number of citizens that were, number of Gazans that were participating along with Hamas in this. Nobody talks about it because they're too afraid of being peppered with accusations that they're for genocide, which is stupid and specious. But everybody's afraid to talk about the sheer number of civilians, people who maybe don't get the members only jacket with Hamas, running along with Hamas, in addition to the journalists there, running along with them, working with them, helping them, being culpable in every way. I watched a video. I watched the video. It was one of the bad ones that showed that Shani Luke's body and her legs all contorted. And she's dead. They cut off her head later. She's in the back of that truck. And this is apparently after they brutally raped her. She's in the back of the truck. Her leg is all bent out. And it was a several minutes long video. There's only a clip where a lot of things are obscured that I think most people have seen. And if you don't wish to unsee things, then don't watch it. But I watched it because I wanted to see what everybody around the terrorists were doing. And I've seen this in every single video. They're like they arrive in Gaza and they have her on the back of this truck. And there are people, there are like men, there are even women that come forward and they're spitting on her dead body in the truck. There are tons of it. When they first loaded her up and left, they were spitting on her. And when they arrived, they were spitting on her. And you can't tell me that a female who's, you know, all kitted out is part of Hamas like that. I mean, these were people, and there were younger people around. I mean, they didn't just like go into the Hamas HQ. I mean, there were a lot of citizens there as well. And you have to keep this in mind. So when you and everyone's so afraid to talk about it. But that's the reality of the situation. There were a lot of civilians that went along with this. A lot. That's one of the reasons why they were making entry, for instance, into West Bank, even if you were someone that had like the permit to go in and work, why they were making it difficult to enter, because there have been people that have been, you know, had these passes, that had the documents, that were able to go in, and they carry out these terror attacks there because regular citizens are also participating, which is another complication in prosecuting this conflict. I mean, that's the reality of war. When things get to the point where physical conflict is necessary, nuanced considerations go out the window. And for all of the people who say that it's heartless to acknowledge that reality, I respond with this. Where was your heart in all of the instances that escalated us up to this point? Where was your heart all of the times prior that Hamas violated a ceasefire? Where was your heart when Hamas was killing and shelling Israeli hospitals? Where was your heart when they were saying that they could not abide by a two-state solution? They were going to live and die by their charter, which doesn't recognize their neighbor to the north. Where was your heart there? Because it seems like your heart only came into play after October 7th. And you just pretend that October 7th didn't happen, that everything started on October 8th. Where was your heart then with your fake compassion and your crocodile tears? I question the soul of people who act like this. I do. I think there are a lot of evil people in this world. I think there are a lot of people who have been overtaken by sheer evil. And they are the ones who are out there promoting this nonsense. These people aren't compassionate. The people out there calling for a ceasefire don't have a heart. They don't care about these kids. They're just rhetorically using them as shields in the same way that Hamas did physically. It's disgusting.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I did not know this, but there are six states in which a dog, can be legally part of your family. Over 50% of people think that their pets are family members anyway. Apparently, it's a growing trend. New York, California, and Maine think of dogs as legal property. Of course they do. Is anyone surprised that New York and California does? But they said that there are a number of states that where they you can actually like treat your dog. What does that mean? I don't know. I think it's kind of, I don't know. Really? Like you can have like custody disputes and custody issues and things like that. But they said that there are six states where you have that. Interesting. A truck stowaway hid beneath a huge... This is in Australia. Of course it is. Of course it is. I'm telling you, Australia is like the non-American Florida. This dude's lucky to be alive. He hid beneath a B-double for a 390-mile trip to the Gold Coast. That's crazy. They said he's believed to be under the influence of alcohol. He crawled into the metal racks beneath the truck. He was going to hitch a 40-mile ride along the New South Wales coast, but ended up on the Gold Coast. The driver said he was making a freight run. He stopped for a short nap, 1:30 in the morning on Friday. And after a quick coffee, completing his checks, he set off again. He said when it started to get light, he said he could see a piece of orange cloth under the trailer. And he went for a really, really long way. And he said that he made an emergency stop and got out of his cabin, and that's when he saw the guy. And that's crazy that this guy did this. So, yeah, police called. He was taken into custody. There was a massive brawl. Austin, Texas. Austin is a great town, except when it's not. I was only one time on this street, and I won't go back because it's not my jam, man. There were Marines in a massive brawl outside of Texas. This Texas bar. It was the Voodoo Lounge, I think, outside in Austin. So they shut the street down, and it's just a bunch of college kids and girls in dresses that don't fit. And everybody gets in fights. Dude, there's like literally a whole YouTube account devoted to it. But somebody thought it was going to be fun to pick a fight with literally a bunch of Marines. And this one Marine ate punches like my one Marine friend jokes he eats crayons. This guy ate so many punches, and he just was like, oh, that was a punch. I've never seen a dude take so many hits to the face and be unfazed. It was wild. That dude was arrested, though, because apparently he was the instigator. We have a lot more in store. I got the most American optic ever coming up. It involves people coming into the country illegally and bald eagles. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Folks, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program, Channel 347, DirecTV. We have some people who are watching the YouTube stuff. Yeah, the YouTube ads are insane. Like the simulcast ads. I'm going to talk about this for a minute because, so I can't explain this to how, because it doesn't matter if you have YouTube Premium. It doesn't matter. A lot of people have been asking us about this. So as a condition to even like monetize, you have to accept simulcast ads. And that's pretty much all the control that they allow you to have, except you get to choose how frequent it is. Maybe sort of annoying, super annoying, or you're going to murk yourself annoying. That's kind of like the three levels of annoying, right?
Yeah. Well, they put in the word estimated in there.
Estimated.
I think there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because they're going to screw you.
Yeah.
We picked like the least, because you have to pick one. That's the thing. As a condition of being a professional or a monetized account, you have to choose one of those to have a simulcast. And you, otherwise, you don't get to do it. And so we picked the least invasive one, and it's supposed to be every 30 minutes, but that 30 minutes estimated is there is user timing. It's like, so whenever a user joins, it's like 30 minutes from then, correct?
That is what we, you know, that's what we are led to believe. But yeah, technically, because we start the stream at the top of the hour, that's right. And we would do that intentionally so that whoever is connecting at that time, their ad shouldn't be seen till the bottom of the hour, which is when we're in a commercial break. So that should be, you know, it should correlate. It
right.
should actually
right.
coordinate that way. But YouTube is not doing it. They're the word estimated is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
A lot there. Of heavy lifting. The estimated, a lot of heavy lifting. So yeah, well, I wanted to explain that for people because a lot of people were asking, and it is super annoying if you're watching something, especially if I'm given like good info and then an ad pops up. And especially if it's a stupid ad. Our friend Larry, who's out in Vegas, was like, it was an ad for assault weapons ban. That's the other thing. Like, you can choose very vague, broad categories, and that's it. Yeah. Like, you could choose.
And it still doesn't mean they'll honor that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because that's situational. They may not honor it at all. That's a good point. So you really don't even have control over that. But I will totally take money from the gun control groups, and I will totally take it and then spend it to fight them. So I'm fine with like making them be total stooges and just, you know, pimping them out and making money off of them. They can be stupid all they want to because they're not going to plant seeds. They're just going to make me money. And then I'm going to use it to fight. So that's great. 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 Cyclical. Look at that. So I wanted to, because a lot of people were asking us about that. And I thought, yeah, let's just like really quickly, let's just, you know, we'll touch on that real quick. So a few things still. That we need to hit because you have the Israeli war cabinet that's trying to figure out right now what they're going to do with if they're going to be able to get these hostages. I don't know if they're going to have a ceasefire in there as well, because you had, there's been a couple of things that like Hamas was saying, well, a truce is close. And Qatar, they're handling the negotiations with all of this. So, which I have to question. If they had to pick a side, you know whose side they're on, right? I mean, you know whose side Qatar is on, you know. There's no details. Like, I think there's just been speculation as to how many hostages might be released. I think that's kind of it. And I don't think that they know really any other aspect of it, because that's one of the things that I had heard this morning. Actually, and I read something separate that they were saying, oh, it's X amount of hostages, or it's hostages of this age. And the speculation is all over the place. So there's really nothing confirmed on it. But they said that Hamas delivered a response to the latest offer. Nothing is really, I mean, Israel's still going forward. And that is, I mean, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I mean, that's kind of everybody's sort of in the dark until there's an announcement made, or until if they have an agreement. They were saying that the prisoner exchange, because they had Gazan prisoners, that it would involve women and children, so they would give over women and children hostages that Hamas has, so they would get more terrorists in return. So Hamas will hold on to the male hostages, and then you're going to give. The way that the last bit that we know about, or the most perhaps likely offer, is they would give up women and children in exchange for some Hamas militants, for some terrorists. I don't say militant fighters because it's a fancy word to say dog terrorist. For in exchange for terrorists, so Hamas gets a pause in fighting. Hamas gets terrorists out there, and they're keeping the men, the husbands and the dads and the sons. They're keeping those hostages, and they're going to give away some of the women and children. That's even if you can, you know, believe them at their word, which nobody does. And then the terrorists that they get in exchange get to go back to field of battle and continue, you know, attacking Israel, right? So really, the only party doing anything would be Israel again. Now, you tell me how that sounds like a fair deal. See, Hamas likes to pretend that it's the one that's the underdog right now, but they have women and children. It's really easy when you don't care about the lives of women and children to pretend that you're the underdog when you have them held hostage. But for a country that values life, for a country that actually believes in honoring women, and for a country that actually believes in protecting children and not storing, you know, anti-tank missiles amongst their backpacks in a school, as per video from foreign press, then they don't view themselves as having the advantage, because you have their most precious treasure as hostage. Notice how none of these ceasefire people or any of these Hamas apologists have acknowledged that perspective, because that's the perspective. Hamas acts as though they're the underdogs. But they have the women and children. They don't value women and children. And I really think in reality, they understand that they are not the underdogs in some respects. I think some of them believe that, but ultimately that's what they'll say in front of cameras. But they know that they're in the catbird seat. They know that they have treasure from Israel. And so long as they have that, they are in a very commanding position. And you make the other country afraid of potentially hurting its own treasure. You know, so don't spare me the protestations about Hamas or Gazan government that Gazans elected and supported so much that they were going to sweep elections in West Bank. Spare me the protestations about them being in any way considerate or caring for people. That's so stupid. If you're dumb enough to believe that optic, I got a bridge to sell you. For real. It's real cheap, too. It's a real cheap price, Kane. Super cheap. Yeah. I mean,
some would say unbelievably cheap.
$50 million, you know. Maybe you've heard of this big fancy bridge that I own. Now, some people call it the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's not. I just call it the McDonald's Arch Bridge because it reminds me of the food. You know, it's the arches, and you know, I could sell you that for, you know, $50 million. It's actually, when you consider the materials in it, what you could scrap it for, you know, I mean, that's like a fair price, I think. I'll send me the money, and I will give you in return the bill of sale and the deed. You get the deed to it. I mean, really easy. It's very fancy, very official. Has a seal. See? I'll totally do it. So we'll see. They'll have an update on all this today. They'll have some information on this today. So yeah. Oh, by the way, all the people are saying they're getting gun control ads. I already made a note to myself of I'm going to use all of that to fund their opposition. Yes, I will totally pimp you out and use it. Like, what is it? Sandy Hook Promise. They had an ad. Lorraine said, I'm going to take the money made from that, and I'm going to spend it against them, against the gun control stuff. There you go. All right. So a few other things to touch on as they consider all of that. I was looking. Do you know how quickly the IDF is like going through Gaza and the way that they are triangulated and going through. I was reading, I'm trying to find my notes on this. So apparently one of the groups that they have, so they have their, they're saying it's the hammer meets the anvil. And so they're going through and they're about to link up. So they're focusing on the south right now. So the ones who came through the north are now heading towards the south where they also have IDF there in South Gaza. And I read this. I'm going to make sure. I'm looking for my notes on this. So bear with me because it's not, for some reason, it's not pulling up. They said that one of their units, it's just called the Rage. And they're apparently the hardcore ones. And I think that's the one that they sent in through Gaza City. And that's why everything is very, very quickly. I mean, think about, it's still going to be long because you're still going to have to go through all of these tunnels. I think they've only just started. But they have an elite, they have these elite units. And I think I read one piece where, and it's actually a former IDF, where they were saying that it's called the Rage. And they're the ones who, those are the ones who are having a day. Let's say like that. Those are the, so like if you're in Warhammer Darktide, that's who you want, right? You want the Rage. That's like, that's what you want. So they, this, that's one of the elite units. I think they were the ones that were involved in the Al-Shifa hospital as well. But they've made very precise, very quick work of going in, clearing out, securing, locking down. I mean, it's urban warfare, which is always incredibly difficult. And especially when you have that labyrinth of tunnels underneath. I don't know if you've seen some of the latest videos, like the ones that came out yesterday showing there was, because there are multiple entries. Like you'll have some tunnel entries like in Al-Shifa Hospital, but then like maybe like out in the parking lot by a bush, what looks like, you know, a sewer door. You know, everybody's seen those types of like heavy utility doors, right? And that's like the entrance for a sewer system, except nope, this one in a sewer system, it literally goes into a terror tunnel. Goes into, it's wild. It's wild, all this stuff. So they have been really, it's been something to behold, the way that they have been able to go through. That's why it's like, you know, Israel, they don't, it's not, they really don't need funds. That's why they wanted to buy guns. They don't need really, they don't need funds. They don't need, they just need to be left alone and to do what they need to do. The obstacle comes in everyone else nagging them and telling them, don't do this, urge restraint, stop, stop, get out of their way. Let them TCB. Let them TCB. That's the way it has to be done. Now, we have Florida Man on the way. And then coming up, we're going to get into a couple of other things because Mayor Eric Adams in New York City, he did it. He slashed that budget. It's done. Oh, you know, he said that the federal government was going to pay for all those illegal immigrants coming in. We're gonna have to have a little discussion on that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I got three words for you. Florida Man Possum. That's right. That's right. So let's see what we got. This is Clearwater. Literally, it is. This is yesterday. It happened yesterday. So, oh, wait, we had this one. This is the, did I share this one with you?
Yeah, I think we did this one already.
Did we do it? Because it's so amazing. I wanted it again. The guy who did a deuce on a possum, and then it's not, he got in trouble. Okay. How did I forget that? Please, I saved it forever. Okay, I am not. Okay, I'll save this one. Really quickly, because it's hysterical. Tampa Bay Times, they're talking to a semi-retired gator guru. This was sent by Amber, who is a Florida woman. She says this is educational, which means it's not. The alligator, semi-retired gator guru says that, you can check an alligator's sex by looking at his equipment hole.
Oh God.
That's what he said.
God.
She dared me. What do I get? I did it. What do I get? I get a prize. Come on, girl. Good boy. Good, Florida boy. A Florida boy gets a young hero award. He saved his grandma's life by calling 911. Good for him in Orlando. Fox 35 in Orlando. When they got there, they said they were surprised to see a little man. He's a little kindergartner. He got a big reward. Rosa Garcia had a medical episode. She was watching her six-year-old grandson, James. She couldn't breathe. James called 911. He was super chill. And he says, I don't know what's happening to my grandma. He waited for paramedics to arrive. They gave her the care she needed. And they said he remained so calm. And they were actually shocked that he was so young because he was so calm about it. So good for him. He got an award and he got to go ride on a fire truck and everything. I mean, best day ever. That's awesome. A Florida man drove into car show staff after he was turned away from an event. 76 years old. Steve, can you make one guess as to where this happened in Florida? What area it happened in?
Can we hear it?
76 years old.
Can we hear it? The Villages?
It did. Yes.
Was it the Villages?
It was the Villages. A Florida man has been arrested, charged with aggravated battery after he allegedly drove his car into staff at the Villages Cruise, the cruising car show in Florida, and he did it on purpose. Anthony Guerrero became belligerent and aggressive, and then the Villages resident began throwing paper at staff, and then he drove into a worker. He totally... he got mad because they let another group of cars in before his. And that's why. Man. And a road rage incident that started with a cup of coffee at Chick-fil-A. Well, that was not your pleasure. Florida man was arrested in this road rage fit. There's like video of them fighting on the ground, which is actually hysterical, but not good. Don't do it. This Florida guy's facing three felony charges. Someone threw coffee at him Saturday morning. At Chick-fil-A on Palm Coast Parkway, 36-year-old Donovan Matthews got into an argument with a man and woman. Coffee was thrown, and then he struck their vehicle with his car, and then they started brawling in the intersection. Oh, man. And there were blows traded. Flagler County Sheriff's Office had to respond. I mean, all that over. You know what? Just keep your cool, and don't be getting into a fight, skinning up your knees, showing your butt in the intersection of Florida over road rage. Just don't do it. Third hour on the way, ladies and gents. You don't want to miss. Stick with us.
I don't know why I'm making this video, but... like... I feel like... my husband and I are doing everything right. We both have good jobs. I'm a nurse. I'm a registered nurse. I work full time. He works full time. We just got paid this past Friday, right? We paid the mortgage, bought some groceries, put some gas in the car. And guys, it is Tuesday. And we have like $200 or $300 to last us until next Friday. Like, we don't live in a big house. We live in a little ranch. It's 1,100 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, us and our 2 kids. And like, I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, You got to vote differently. That's kind of how it goes. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. So this is on TikTok. And she had said later in the video, she doesn't want to get into the politics of the economy. Well, guess what? That is the economy. It's politics. You don't want to get into it, but it will get into you. Welcome to the show. Like I said, Dana Lash here. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. You can also... watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. Yeah, that's the issue, though. You can talk about why you don't want to get into, you can say, I don't want to get in the politics of it. I just don't. But yet, at the same time, she votes Democrat because she's a Democrat voter. I mean, that's evident later on in the video. I don't want to hear about politics. Okay, well, if you're not willing, if you don't want to hear about the actual issue of the problem, then why should you complain about it? You're complaining about something that you don't want to talk about. How does that make sense? Because the politics inform your economic situation. People are paying more in taxes because of the economic situation that this administration has placed us in. I mean, we were digging out of the ridiculous lockdown that should have never have happened, number one. And then while that's happening, while we're trying to come back, then we have taxes paying off people's grad school bills. And that's what it was. The statistics are public. Don't. Paying off their grad school bills. Allowing people to skip their lease payments. But mortgage people who owned the property that the leases were being paid on, they still had to pay their mortgages and they still had to pay taxes on all of that. It was just the people that didn't have to pay that got to pass on. This is asinine. So yeah, if you don't want to hear about the politics of it, then you don't get to hear. I mean, and I also, she works full time and her husband works full time and they only have a couple of $100 left. You know, also at some point, you know, you can sit here and talk about you're going to ignore the economics of the situation, but then maybe look at your budget. Of course, we have inflation though, too, right now. Dollars, the average dollar that you earn is not keeping up with the cost of goods and services as it used to. So that's why you have gas bills and grocery bills, utilities and food that are outpacing everything for price. That's a real thing. And so they're feeling it. They are feeling it. I mean, it looks like she has a nice house and all this other stuff. And she's like, we don't live above our means. I think a lot of people who probably do don't recognize that they do. But, you know, that's the reality of the situation here. The biggest thing is that inflation, et cetera. You might have been able to live at that rate of spending and, you know, the ratio of what you're bringing in to what's going out before all the taxes, before the inflation, before everything else. But now, after, you know, you voted for all this stuff, now you can't. So you can sit here and say, because she said in the video, I don't want to talk about the politics of it. Well, you can't, because that directly informs your current economic position. Your situation right now is because of the politics of it. When I hear people say I don't want to talk about the politics of it, means I voted wrong. And if I admit it, then I look like I can't really complain. But you got to be able to talk about how you got in that situation so you don't do it again. I mean, but everybody's feeling this. They're all feeling it. Now, I'm going to switch gears here because the thermonuclear lawsuit that Elon Musk said he was going to file against Media Matters. Well, it's done. Very exciting. Super exciting about that. My only sadness is that I can't donate anywhere to it. You know, I really wish I could, because I would love to be able to contribute a few dollars to the destruction of Media Matters. I'm not going to lie. Really would. I hope he destroys them. I mean, you have to think about this. Media Matters created the rage mob. They created cancel culture. They've been doing this we talked a little bit about this yesterday, about how Andrew Breitbart and I dropped in with Mike Flynn on their offices. But that has been their approach from the beginning. Rinse, cycle, repeat. You overwhelm a target with smears. You use your allies to amplify the smears in the legacy press. And then you present the quality of coverage as evidence of the smear's validity. Where does that formula sound familiar? Oh, right. That's what they did with the Russian collusion stuff with Fusion GPS and Hillary Clinton. Now, it shouldn't be surprising that this sounds familiar, because Media Matters was started by a bunch of Clinton toadies. So that's the exact same tactic that they use with the Russian collusion stuff. Right. They would overwhelm something with smears, and then they would recycle it, amplify it in the press. In this case, Fusion GPS was trying to sell discredited Oppo. They were taking this stuff, cycling it through the press, and then trying to say, well, because so-and-so wrote about it, therefore it must be true. And then trying to use it as evidence to get wiretaps on political enemies. It's the same formula that Media Matters, the same formula that they were using against Elon Musk, who is not an anti-Semite. They're trying to target the advertisers on X the way that they've done to get, like, when they've gotten hosts kicked off of CNN, they've gone after people on Fox, they've gone after people's incomes for just being in the conservative sphere. They've gone after me so many times, I can't even keep count. And hope that he does destroy them. Because the perception, I think, of Media Matters is varied, but the effects are not. Because they have been successful. I mean, they created cancel culture that lasts today. People have to realize that one of the forms of distribution, like previously, whenever you had a newspaper that was printed, you know, the distribution, the old adage is, if you see a paper like lying on a restaurant table, well, you know, it goes to show the adage is that, what, three people on average read that newspaper? Like, think about it. You have a newspaper, you know, someone else in your house besides you reads it. It's in a doctor's office. Other people read it. They would say on average, isn't that right? How they did it, Kane? Like on average, like three people would read the paper. So for digital distribution, you kind of have to rethink how this is measured a little bit. And so amplification is a measure of digital distribution. And one of the things that Media Matters does, particularly through all of its allies, through the progressive press, is the amplification of these smears. That's amplification is a new digital distribution. And they just repeat it until it becomes truth because it sounds familiar. Doesn't mean that it's true. It's just that someone has heard it so often, it sounds familiar. Maybe it sounds familiar because it's true and people confuse the two, and then it just becomes fait accompli truth. That's the whole point. It's a psyop. That's what they specialize in. And I hope that he breaks them. I hope that he makes them cry. I have never wanted any entity's utter destruction as much as I want theirs, because they are absolutely poisonous for discourse in the United States. Absolutely poisonous. Every accusation against a conservative you've ever heard has been from these people. They act like the ombudsman of like the person who weighs in and makes the and settles disputes or settles inaccuracies, you know, for a paper. They act like they are that, and that their passion for doing so comes from their devotion to the craft of journalism. But that's not true, because their passion for doing this comes from their devotion to their own political ideology. They're zealots. They are ideological zealots. And they don't have advertising. They don't have to disclose their funders. They got started by a bunch of Clinton toadies and George Soros. And in 2010, he gave them another $1 million. So they got started, in fact, as a way to push back against all the stuff coming at the Clintons. That's how it started. They got started way, way back in the 90s. So it was about pushing back against the Clintons. And it grew from there. Like the idea of doing it, they had all these people together raising money and doing press, but it wasn't until, you know, everything started going online that the website came into fruition. But the idea for it began germinating back in the 90s, and then it really took off in the early aughts, Media Matters. But the, you know, so many of these fights and so many of the smears that you've heard, they got their start there. Media Matters is like the 4chan, not to insult 4chan, but it's like the 4chan of media. It really is. And the little known secret is that every newsroom, if it's like ABC, if it's NBC, CNN, MSNBC, you know, CBS, whatever, every newsroom culls from their content. They all aggregate from Media Matters content because they're lazy and doing research, regardless if they want to admit it or not, they do. So they've never, because they don't have to make their donors public, you don't know who's bankrolling them. They just have billionaire donors that bankroll them. And they have never, you have to realize, litigating for what Elon Musk is doing, going after defamation, libel, these are the most expensive cases to litigate. There's a very, very high bar. There's a whole big discovery process. It is a very expensive thing to do. And you got to go scorched earth, because it gets super expensive. That's why no one's really gone after Media Matters before, because Media Matters is bankrolled by all these rich people. And the people that they go after do not have that same capital. This is the first time they have ever picked a fight with someone who could outspend them. That's why I'm so excited, because that's what it comes down to. And I think Musk has proven that that's not the issue for him, that principle is on this. So I hope he eats their breakfast. I'm so excited.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, they're making a suicide safety net for the Golden Gate Bridge. The bridge I own. Survivors say it may give them a second chance at life. They're making a net to catch people. Well, wouldn't that just make them go somewhere else? Right? I mean, yeah, like one person said they were going to jump off the bridge and their hands left the right. You know what you're going to have happen? You're going to have people just doing this for fun, throwing themselves off the bridge into the net for fun. It's going to turn into a recreational thing. I'm telling you, they said that, they had some people, they interviewed this guy who jumped and they said his hands left the rail. He had an instantaneous regret for his action. I'm going to come back to this because you're going to have people, they don't think. Let's see. Maine and Massachusetts are the last states to keep stupid bans on Sunday hunting. However, that actually might change soon. There's legislation in the works to get that changed. So there you have it. Three were injured after a light pole was knocked over by strong winds on Disneyland's Main Street. Wah, Disneyland, wah, wah. Yeah, I'm just not going to get into it. Let's see. Oh, there was a woman, and this is an old story. No, I'm not going to do this one. That one's old. That one's so old. Okay, so also what we have, there is a New York Post says a new dating phenomenon proves traditional relationships are over. What? They said that women are sick of the pressure to follow traditional timelines. What women are you talking to? Like ugly women that can't get a traditional relationship? Like, what are you talking about? They said it's a dating report. Women are pushing back instead of from blah, blah, blah. This is not new. Bored women who are bored with themselves and their lives have been doing this since I was a kid. Stop. They said that 31% of women aren't focused adhering to traditional blah, 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 blah. You boring broads. I'm so bored with them. You know why you're single? Because you're boring. I don't even want to be your friend. You're so boring. Moving on. It is. I'm so tired of hearing this, right? Who is so self-indulgent? These people are ridiculous. Also, let's see here. In Israel arrests an NBC journalist for glorifying Hamas. Oh, also, apparently, they were like basically participating. Miravat Aleza was right there with them when they were doing all their stuff. So before you get to be like, oh, well, it's a free speech. Yeah, but like when you're actually aiding and abetting terrorists and you're right there with them, it's kind of a problem, isn't it? It just seems like that's kind of an issue. Just going to point that out. All right, so coming up, we got a lot of stuff still to hit. As we wind down Thanksgiving Eve, stick with us.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a nice Thanksgiving song, is it not? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Now, I encourage you to go find, especially where we talked about in the first hour, the story, the backstory of Thanksgiving, which we kind of done every year. Tried to do it differently, but some good history, very good history. I couldn't come in. And Juan has noted that it's already standalone on YouTube, so go and find it, and I'll send it out in the newsletter tomorrow too for you email subscribers over at Chapter and Verse. Now, just FYI, from the management. So my brother from another mother, Sergio, is in for me tomorrow. And then obviously we have Thanksgiving because your girl bakes. Your girl gets prepared. And then we all come back together on Monday. So I hope everyone's safe and takes time with their families over the Thanksgiving holiday. I couldn't come in to this Nikki Haley audio soundbite with that awesome song by U2. I think it's one of the best ones that they have. I love it. And this was awkward. This is when you got out of the mouths of babes, right? You can't fake kids, right? You cannot fake them out. You can't, they just don't go along with stuff, right? I love it when there's like these moments of honesty where your narrative is just meh. So Nikki Haley was at a campaign event, and this is what happened when she saw a little girl in the audience wearing something that she liked. Listen.
I love your hat. Thank you. What if your guy suits me for free?
Oh, she's like, I love your hat. She's like, thank you. One of your guys, I'd love it. And she, yeah, it was a campaign thing. I mean, I don't know if it was like a stunt that, you know, went wrong. I'm not quite sure, but I think that would be kind of, you think it was?
I think so.
Oh, and then she just ruined it?
Yeah, they know who's going to be asking questions at these events, especially ones that are intimate like this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course she got a free hat.
I'm going to say this is why I wouldn't run for office. If I was a candidate right now, and I, or a politician, and I had said, well, I'm going to say something that's not popular. It really isn't popular. And my like campaign staff would freak out. So I'll never run for office because I could never be honest like this. Why aren't you giving free hats to people who can't even vote? Dumb. I'm very Ron Burgundy about this. Not Ron Burgundy. Who am I thinking of? The guy from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
Not Ron Burgundy. I can't remember. I'm too busy thinking about turkey. I don't have any brain space for this. Ron Swanson. Thank you. Different Ron. Very Ron Swanson about this. Why are you giving your hats, your campaign stuff to people who can't even vote?
Dumb.
No, don't do it. I love your hat. Not just stop. Just stop. I still think that she's running for VP. Nikki Haley. I'm planning on not getting heavy into the primary stuff until after Christmas because we're still 55 days out from caucuses in Iowa. DeSantis came out yesterday and said he went to every county already. He's visited every county in Iowa. Can we just stop for 1 second about the counties in Iowa? There's a lot of them. Pull up a map of the counties in Iowa, Kane. I have never seen, who did this? I have never seen a state so reasonably divided into counties. Yeah. It is neat and tidy. It is the tidiest thing I have ever seen. Do yourself a favor. If you ever, I know it sounds weird, but like Google Iowa counties map. And I mean, it is very satisfying to look at it. They are so perfectly, I mean, it's all perfect. It all makes sense. It's so perfect. They're all almost perfect squares. I mean, there's at least several rows that are perfect squares. Palo Alto County is literally a perfect square. Floyd County, a perfect square. Butler, a perfect square. The only one, what is it, Ida? It's the only one that's got a little leg sticking out there. That's probably a river or something. Otherwise, you know, it's all like perfectly reasonable. Very nice. Like Fayette's like almost a rectangle. Very nice. Very orderly. Now, if you look at some of these other states, it's a hot mess. Hot mess. I looked this up, though, and I was blown away by how organized they were with their counties. Like someone actually sat down with a ruler and paper and just did it like that. Like, you know, how you're supposed to probably. They did it properly. I want whoever is in charge of the counties in Iowa, I want them to come and like organize my pantry. You know, maybe like my closet and then everybody has that one drawer in your kitchen that you use for like your secondary plastic ladles and stuff. I need that. I need them to come and situate that stuff. Juan's getting the map up because people aren't going to believe me. I will say Webster County kind of messes it up a little bit. Like they and what is it? Cospeth County. Cospeth is like, I'm going to rectangle this all up. Is that just like rural? Is that what it is? I'm assuming. I don't know. But like, it's just so perfectly divided. And then you have Shelby and this other one in Guthrie and Dallas County. They all literally are shaped the exact same with the little notches. Who did this? It's so, you know what? I look at this map and the level of satisfaction I feel is like when I'm swiffing the floor and there's this one spot by my cabinets where the Swiffer head fits perfectly. Like it was made for it. Like the people who built the house were like, you know what? Let's put this in here for the ladies who like to Swiffer. And they want that Swiffer head to just fit perfectly in there. Let's just do that. Because you do it and you're like, oh, yeah. Right? Nice. Or how when you're vacuuming and you're on carpet and it's just perfect. It looks like a mowed lawn, like MLB mowed lawn. It's like someone from the MLB who takes care of stadiums came and vacuumed your carpet. It's like that kind of perfect. I feel I have that satisfaction. Anyway, kudos, Iowa, on your very orderly counties. It's very nicely done. I mean, some of us are a little jealous. I'm just saying, because like, let's look at our home state, Kane. Let's just Google this up. Yeah, we got some issues here. We got some issues with some of these kind of, this not as neat and orderly. I mean, it's pretty good. It's not heinous. It's not heinous.
I see that a lot of their borders are, they're using rivers.
It's like when they get down to the boot heel or the toe.
Yeah, that looks a little squirrely.
Yeah, you're like, and it's not as bad as like California. California's county map, they just stopped caring. They just don't care. Like some of it's weird. I don't know. Like some of these other, it's very interesting. So anyway, he's been to all of these counties there. He's been to all of them. They went to the fair. They ate the meats on the sticks. They eat all of that stuff. You know, they did all of it. So I'm not going to get heavy into it until we get into, you know, after Christmas, because you guys, you all don't want to be like, you're not going to be focusing on that. Come on. You're not going to be all into that. You're more into, you're very, you want to focus on, like, I think everybody's focusing on Christmas and holidays and Thanksgiving and all that stuff, just because everything is so stressful and nasty, and it's been already a nasty primary and people are just done with it. Can I just share a little factoid here about Argentina's new president, the guy with the piercing blue eyes and crazy hair? He looks like a character from The Mighty Boosh, which, if you're unfamiliar, is one of my kids' absolute favorite shows ever. It's this old British show. It's from the early aughts, and we discovered it during lockdown. And he looks like a character from The Mighty Boosh. The new president-elect, Javier Milei. So apparently, and you can tell he's a libertarian because he does this. Libertarians, capital L libertarians, all have some weird currency. They'll seem totally normal when you talk to them. Everybody has a weird tick. Republicans, conservatives, socialists are, you know, communists, everybody. But libertarians are particularly interesting because they'll say things like, yes, you know, I also believe, yes, we should go back, return to gold standard, and we should, you know, abolish everything that's not Article 1, Section 8, and we really need to honor states' rights and all this stuff. And they say things that make all the sense in the world. And then they'll say things like, yes, I also use a psychic to communicate with my dead dog and ask it for political advice. And you're like, what? Well, wait, everything you were saying sounded so neat. Yes, and also the psychic thing with the dog. No, no, no. You see what I mean, though? Kane, I mean, would you agree? Like, they all say things that are totally normal, and then all of a sudden they come out of left field with
this.
I'm not making this up, by the way. This apparently is what Javier, I'm not saying this against him. I don't know how to interpret it. It's intriguing. Not intriguing. It's entertaining. I'm not going to lie. So the guy, the new president-elect, apparently he had an English Mastiff dog named Conan. And he has four other dogs that were cloned with Conan's DNA and tissue samples. And he said he always had a dog to love. I mean, he really took it literally. In politics, if you want a friend, get a dog. He did, and he cloned it. And then he also, in his spare time, he uses a medium to communicate with the dead dog that he had that all the clones came from. I don't dislike the guy, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not kidding you. You all know this. Capital L libertarians, they will always come out of left field with one thing, right? Like, yes, I believe in all of these things and all of this. And
was that Marianne Williamson too?
Yes.
That was her deal. Where
I sleep inside of a hollowed out crystal. I'm a fairy at night. I mean, I mean, it wasn't like that, but you know, I mean, it's. Or it's, you know, I agree with you about monetary policy. And I also think that we need to, you know, we need this quantitative easing nonsense. By the way, do you know that I'm actually an alien in a meat suit? My real name is Borg. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's, they come out of left field with something. I was just waiting for this one to drop. I'm like, with hair like that, dude, it's going to happen. Just waiting for it. Yeah. So it's his dog, Conan. And, This was in his biography, by the way. So lest you think I'm making this up, it's from his biography that's written by an Argentinian journalist, Juan Luis Gonzalez. And it says that the new president-elect studies telepathy and he uses a medium to talk to his dead dog, ask his dead dog about political advice. you know, makes with, and he's got his other clone dogs. All right. But hey, did you see the video where he was throwing away all the stuff on the board? Right. If he does even half of that. Okay. All right. I'll give you the dog medium. Cut half of that. You know what I'm saying? I like to make these unofficial nonverbal deals with elected leaders, right? Like that are only exist in your head. You know what I mean? Like things like, okay, maybe if you build the whole wall, I'll forgive the spray tan. You know, things like that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm just saying, you know, but the capital L libertarians, every one of my libertarian friends, they all have, like she's sweet. I'm not going to say her name, but she's going to know immediately if this ever gets out. You know, we're just us here, just a few of us. But, capital L libertarian, and she sleeps with crystals, like a forest of them on her nightstand.
There could be something to that.
Shut up, no, there's not.
There's something to that.
It's like a forest of them. And it's like, they're like different types, and then they have little stands, and then one of them lights up, or no, it doesn't light up. She illuminates it. Oh. I don't know, man. Just, and then different crystals throughout our house for certain energies. I'm like, it's a rock.
Could be something to it.
Really? Really with you over there? Kane was over there saying, he showed me a package of probiotics. I took a picture of him without him knowing because.
What?
Yeah, I sent it to you even. Did you not even look at Slack? You don't even look at this stuff.
I didn't see it.
He's like, probiotics. And then it's like he's being filmed by an imaginary cameraman in here. And the way that he was taking it out of the box, it's like he was being filmed. So I'm like, what is happening here? He's holding the package logo out like he's hand modeling it. It was hysterical. I'm just saying, you know, I think that's yours. Yours is your bacteria tea and your pills, your hippie pills of the probiotics.
Are you anti-science?
I'm not anti-science. Okay. I just think it's funny. Like there's without fail, I'm never wrong. So if you meet a libertarian, something's going to come out. It'll be like, you know, I have an invisible fifth leg. I don't know. Like they'll come up with something. You know, I had 9 fingers or I had 11 fingers and I cut one off. I don't know. Like they'll come up with something.
They have 4 visible legs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just rattling off things top of my head. It's really hard to top the dog medium, you see. It's very difficult to do so. All right, we got to get moving.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And make sure that you find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Find that, again, that newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Always good stuff that goes out there regularly. And a big thank you to everybody who is listening, whether you're listening terrestrially, whether you're streaming the program, whether you're, in fact, watching the simulcast. We're grateful for all of you this Thanksgiving, because honestly, especially as it gets crazier and crazier out there, it's really nice to know that you have someplace to go every afternoon and feel like you're sitting at this like virtual round table with people and just, you know, having some coffee or some soda or sweet tea, unsweet tea for me, thanks. And, you know, just being able to talk with people and laugh about how absurd everything is. So a big thank you to everybody out there who keeps the show going, who helps make it possible, to everybody in our YouTube chat, to Lorraine for holding it down, to Kane and Juan and Steve as well. We're thankful to them who keep the show going, act as the gatekeepers. They always got my 6. And they make sure that we do a really stellar broadcast every single day. So we're very, very grateful for you guys, grateful for the staff. Grateful to, you know, Radio America, who puts our show out every single day. Grateful to the First and the crew over there. We got a lot of things to be grateful for, and we got a great country and a lot of freedom to be grateful for. So as we start rolling into the conclusion of this year and onward to the next, let's turn that gratitude into action and demonstrate our gratefulness by making sure that we protect those things that we value. So folks, I will be out tomorrow. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving. We got a great guy. We got a great country. And we got a lot of stuff to be thankful for. Thank y'all so much. Have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving.